Blog Talk Radio.
The champ is here!
Alright, this is my shit right here!
The champ is here!
This shit is quite crazy!
The evil genius Green Lantern!
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Yeah! Yeah!
D-Block, the champ is here!
The champ is here!
Fucking with the champion!
You already know!
A-A-B-A game to buy!
Know the champ isn't here. He took it from crack to rap. Now he put out 2 anthems a year. And I just wanna rock for a century and then chase the book with the documentary. If you can't do nothing other than flow, life's a bitch like the mother from Blow. Let's go, don't make me put your heart in your lap. Fuck riding the beat, nigga. I parallel park on the track. Hop out looking crispy, fresh and new. And it's 6, but it's a BM and it's Pepsi Blue. And I don't know you, but I know a man becomes a man from all the shit that he go through. Y'all ain't fucking with Jason. After I cash in, there's really no justification of how I'm gonna change the game. So don't get out of line. It's this little 9 to change your frame. Fuck.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
Kiss.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
You got a problem with Jay to handle it when you see Kiss. Time's up. The champ is here. It's the remix. We about to make the world get down. And I hate cops, but it's a new sheriff in town. Let's go. Everybody pipe down.
I'm on.
You know the game is mine right now.
Down.
Put your mics down.
Yeah.
And the truth is that.
Let's go.
Y'all know the Black Babe Ruth is back.
Listen,
the game's scary. Cause everybody running around wanting to be out. Or what about Wayne Perry? Thin line between living and being buried. Where I'm from, see to the yard or the cemetery. I don't own a computer, but I download the Ruger. The earth's still spinning while the round's going through ya. Shorty's bringing the word back uptown on a scooter. No security, I just move around with a shooter. Pounds of purple, bricks of diesel. Late night finishing strong like Mr. C do. And the Tommy hole 85-45s, dog. So you can go get your people. Just make sure you tell them that.
Y'all
never gonna touch the kid, kiss of death. They gon' have to get me at the top. Y'all never gonna touch the kid, gang, kiss. No love this time.
The champ is here.
The champ is here.
The
champ is here. The champ is here.
Peace and greetings. Greetings and blessings. And welcome, 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 welcome to another edition of Soul Scribe Radio. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Hello, hello, hello. And thank you for joining our show, where it is our intention to inspire through our stories, transform from and through our experiences, and become empowered by connecting to our God self within. My name is Omaria Tucker, and my clients hire me to help them gain clarity on their purpose and to gain access to my tools to create the life that they want while they currently live life. For more information, you can follow me on Facebook at Omaria Tucker and check out my website, omariatucker.info. So now that we've gotten that intro out of the way, I am so happy and grateful to be joined tonight by my brother, my friend, a best-selling published author, Mr. Christopher Husband. You may know him on Facebook as Chris Enlightened. He coined a nickname for me that I'm quite sure we'll go into it tonight as far as this subject of poverty consciousness on this book, that his most recent book, because he's also an author of a book of poems as well, and just learn more about his journey coming from a poverty consciousness mindset to being more wealthy-minded. And like I like to say, get your mind right. So without further ado, let's welcome in Christopher Huffman. Hi, Chris. Are you there?
Peace and love. Peace and love. I'm here.
Peace and love,
how doing,
Chris. How are you this evening?
Feeling like a winner. Winning as usual.
That's right. You are always winning.
And how are you doing, legend?
I am doing very well, thank you. Yes, the legend. I said that in the intro because, you know, legend. I think you started calling me that, in Tuhuti numerology or something like that?
I started calling you that before I started calling you that. I was like, wow, this Omarion lady, she's a legend, because you were one of the first divine conscious souls that I personally knew. You know, and when you got your son to blink, I was like, wow, she's a legend. And you were really humble about it. And it just kind of stuck. When I thought of Amoria, I just thought of a legend. And then I started, you know, telling you that. And everyone that knew you, oh, man, Amoria's a legend. I mean, you inspired me to become a sun blinker, a solar adept, a solar junkie.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
This is a great segue into the topic tonight because of poverty consciousness. When Chris started calling me legend, I heard him say it. I would be like brushing my shoulder. I was like, I guess so. Yeah, whatever, right? And then, you know, I had to think about it and be like, you know what? He's really like helping me build my confidence and my image of self-worth and that I am a legend, I am someone special, that I do have something to give to others, you know what I mean? So thank you for that, and I know that that is and was a part of poverty consciousness, not being able to accept people, you know, giving you a pat on the back.
I love giving empowering, I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry, I just had to get it out. Love giving empowering labels to people. I feel when people are about to just take off and they don't really feel that they're taking off, and I give them power names. And I've been doing this ever since I was in high school, you know? Yeah. And it's helped. It's helped people, and I just love to see people grow and win.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yes, and we all know that that's your hashtag. That's your moniker, winning. Everybody knows Chris Enlightened as the guy that says winning all the time, and it's a beautiful thing because no matter what we're going through, we're still winning. When we really take a deep look at it, we're still going to be winning. Before we dive deep into the book information, I want you to tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how you serve humanity and serve yourself and your family at the same time.
Well, I grew up in the inner cities of Cincinnati. I grew up with a single mom and my little sister. My father wasn't in my life at all, didn't have any older brothers. And although my mother had 27 brothers and sisters, they were busy raising their families, and I just felt alone a lot as a young man. And everything that I do is to make my mom, my wife, and my daughter proud because I've always had a lot of loving women energy around me. So growing up in the hood, you know, I was I had a lot of fights. I was jumped a lot, robbed. I mean, I can go down the gauntlet, pistol whipped, shot at, you name it. And I didn't think I was going to make it. And when I was 17, I told my mom the last time I got robbed. And I told her, if we don't move, I'm going to be dead. And 2 weeks later, we moved. And that was the start of me becoming me, getting away from all the madness. I was able to go into solitude and just start thinking more, start reading more. And I met my wife when I was 15. And we were best friends until we were 18. And we fell in love at 18. And 23 years later, we're still here today. And one of the reasons why I wrote Poverty Consciousness was to give more light to the world. I realized that when I was younger, the world seemed gray. It didn't seem as bright as it does now. I didn't think that the way I thought didn't open the same doors as people who had wealth consciousness. And I figured out, like, wait a minute, I have to change the way I think. I have to change the way I speak, the way I move. Everything needed to change. I had to literally wash the poverty consciousness off of every part, every facet of my being. And that was like the precursor to poverty consciousness. People ask me, well, how are you always winning? How are you always getting good news? And you're always feeling great. And so poverty consciousness came from that.
Deep. Interesting. So from your view, what is your definition of what poverty consciousness is?
You know, my definition of poverty consciousness is the belief, the feeling, and embracing lack. It's as simple as that. If you have a pessimistic view of reality, you feel as if the world is against you, someone's holding you back, a bunch of ifs, but one day, if you're thinking like that, that's poverty consciousness. That's poverty consciousness. What I realized since I tweaked my thinking and everything from poverty consciousness to wealth consciousness is whatever I focus on becomes abundant in my life. I always say winning because it's cool. You know, I think it's cool. It makes me smile and it makes other people smile. And it changes the mood. If someone's feeling bad, I say, you know what? You're winning. They look at me and say, well, how? They get excited. So poverty consciousness is just a belief that you have lack in the world.
And I agree with that totally. And it's not just about, you know, money per se. Like I said earlier, part of my poverty conscious mindset was my self-worth and confidence in who I am and who I am becoming. So for the listeners out there, it's important to know that poverty consciousness can affect you in a multitude of ways, from your self-worth and your confidence to taking the leap to go do something that you've always wanted to do, to money in your pockets, thinking like you don't deserve to have a better job or you don't deserve to become an entrepreneur. Whatever it is, it's kind of like that feeling that I don't deserve that. Why me?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the, what's the word I'm looking for? The woe is me concept to the next level for me. That's what poverty consciousness is because it's like, why do I deserve this? And as God beings, you know, we deserve whatever our hearts say we want. Whatever we desire, we deserve it.
I once heard the master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, say that we're all blessed and gifted with a reservoir of currency that a lot of us don't believe we have, so we never attain it. And I had to realize, like, wow, I've always felt like I was rich, but I never had. Having money was challenging for me. I always felt broke back in the day. But now I feel like I'm rich. You know, and like you said, money is just one facet of currency. I started thinking about what am I wealthy in? I'm wealthy in love. I'm wealthy in happiness. I'm smart. People love being around me. And, you know, about 5 years ago, the only part of me that was lacking was the money. So by me focusing on what I was winning in, it trickled over to the money. Now money flows to me easy as well now. So if you change one aspect of your being and apply it to everything else, you start to flourish. And ever since I started thinking with wealth consciousness, it seems as if I get money all the time. Every day I'm making money, and it's wild. Outside of my 9-to-5, I'm making money with all the things I help people with. So I started doing it for like 2 years. I was just helping people for free, just getting my name out there. And now people are referring people to me from the services I do for people. And it's just I'm just winning. I'm literally winning nonstop. Yeah.
Awesome,
and everyone
awesome,
has that ability
awesome.
To win. You just got to
yes.
believe that you're a winner. You have to know that you're a winner. S.I. Lee Myers, who was on your show a couple weeks ago, when we first got cool years ago, he always used to tell me, you need to create your own no system. Once you create your own no system, no one can take that away. Know you're a winner.
Mm.
No money flows to you easy. And the universe will give you what you already know. And that's so true.
That is a nice jewel right there. I hope y'all wrote that one down and got it in stone in your brains and in your mind. That's a jewel. It's like, man, know thyself. So you know whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you already have, you already know it. And allow the universe to just bring it on to you. I love it. I love it. That's my kind of language right there.
That's the vernacular I choose to use as well.
With your journey, you talked about your personal background as far as, you know, being in poverty consciousness and transcending to a more wealthier mindset and getting yourself, you know, with the help of your mom and your wife and your relationships, getting yourself into that position where you have a more positive outlook on life, even though the circumstances and the environment around you may have not been conducive to what a lot of people would want. But let's look at it from a spiritual perspective.
Mm.
How has poverty consciousness transcended to wealth consciousness from a spiritual perspective for you?
Well, in the beginning, I had the woe is me mentality. Why am I living down here? Why am I scared to leave the house every day? Even though I was scared, I couldn't show it because you become a victim. You become a target. So I always walked around with a mean mug. I learned martial arts so I could defend myself so I would never be a victim again. But then I realized after I became spiritual is change only comes when you're uncomfortable. And I put myself, I believe that I signed a soul contract to be fatherless, to go through all the traumatic things in my life in order to grow spiritually. So through the darkness, it's like a rose growing through a crack. Even though it was rough for me, I feel as if I'm stronger. I'm twice a man because I never had a man in my life. I was able to create my own blueprint of what a good man was. I'm not sure if you know about Jeet Kune Do, but Bruce Lee created a martial arts called Jeet Kune Do. And it's not really a martial arts. It's nothing more than a culmination of all the arts he took, and he just chose the goodness out of it, and he put it into one package. So that's what I did. Even though I went through a bunch of craziness, I give thanks to the Creator for the challenges and the lessons in my life because I wouldn't be the strong God that I am today. You know, I can go anywhere and feel comfortable. I'm not shy. I speak my mind, but I also give love and light.
Yes. So let me ask you this. For the listeners that are joining us tonight, the family that's on the phone, how do you recommend that they go from a lack consciousness to a wealth consciousness, to a consciousness of prosperity and abundance?
The first thing that I tell all my students, anyone that comes to me for counseling, the first thing I tell them to do is to go in the mirror, go in the bathroom, wherever there's a mirror, cut the lights on, and just stare at yourself for 10 minutes right in your pupils. Don't say anything verbally, but in your mind, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for whatever you didn't do to become wealthy in life. I feel it took me a while to just forgive myself. Once I forgave myself, it's like I washed my slate. Okay, now that the old me is gone, let's work on the new me. So wherever you are in your life right now, if you're not doing, you're not being, you're not seeing or experiencing the things you want out of life, tomorrow starts. If you want to go to Hawaii, read up on Hawaii. Look at Hawaii. You need to attract things to you. I used the universal laws, the law of correspondence, before I wrote my book, Poverty Consciousness. Before I even started writing Poverty Consciousness, I started telling the world, yeah, I'm writing Poverty Consciousness. Yeah, I'm 2-3 chapters in. Hadn't even started yet. But after I told like 1,000 people that I was going to write it, I felt as if I had to get busy.
Yeah,
you
had the
choice. Everyone down. Yeah. I like to put myself in a bind because that works best for me.
Yeah,
you know, when
yeah.
I was in school, I was a dude the day before the test studying hard. But that worked for me, you know. It doesn't work for everybody. You have to find your lane and own that lane. A lot of people see other people's lanes and try to jump in their lane and try success. That doesn't work like that. You need to find what lane you're in and roll with that. What I like to do is I like to mirror other people's success on a smaller scale. You know, I see the master. I see Ali. I see other people out here winning. So I study these guys. I stalk them. And I do whatever they're doing on a smaller scale. And once it starts working for me, it inspires me to do more. It's as simple as that. There's no cheating to your success. You got to take it.
Yes,
and
Chris.
I'm taking it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now y'all know why I love him.
Mm-hmm. But the key to my success is inspiring other people, bringing
mm-hmm.
other people up. I've realized that when I bring other people up, it puts me onto a different tier, you know? And that's what I do. I smile a lot. I always have soft energy when I'm around people because it makes people comfortable, you know? And I
mm-hmm.
understand the power of the collective consciousness. So I surround myself with positive people that are winning, and I don't associate myself with anyone that's losing. I tell people all the time, hey, if you're calling me talking negative, I got to go. Why? Because you're talking negative. I don't want that energy. I only focus on winning. If you're not winning, leave me alone. That goes for family, friends, loved ones. I don't care who it is. If they're not winning, listen, your main objective in life is to grow spiritually. That's it. That's it. It's not to make anyone else feel good. It's not to make your children love you. It's about you winning. And if you're winning, everything else under you is going to flourish as well.
Mm.
You can't bring someone else up and you're losing. That doesn't make sense. I just think we all need to be more selfish. Selfish has a bad rap. It has a bad rap. Everything I do is because I want to win. It's not because I want everyone else to win. I want to win. But in order for me to win, I have to show other people how to win. And that's what I do.
Yes. Yes. And this, you made some good points all the way through that. And one that I love the most is being selfish, you know, especially for people like us, people that are givers all the time. Sometimes it's difficult for us to receive, and I know some of the people on the line may also understand this and feel it on a personal level. But being givers all the time, we have to learn how to, instead of being selfless, we have to learn how to be selfish. And there's nothing wrong with being selfish, because in that way it's like your cup will always be full. So when you need to give, the water is still flowing back to you to keep your cup flowing. But you can't give anything to anybody if your cup is empty. You can't give anybody a drink if your fuel is low. You can't take them on a ride anywhere in your car if your gas tank is empty. So it's all about taking care of me first, and then I can help someone else. So thank you
for
sharing that. And I was going to ask you about your relationships and how they were affected as you began to change your life and the way that growing spiritually and just personally, you know, how those relationships change as you flourish from the lack mindset to an abundant mindset.
I lost a lot of relationships, and I'm okay with that. When I started, I did a show. Me and my wife have a radio show, Twin Flame Radio, and we did a show on No. And I did that show on No to help me learn to say no, because I was the guy that helped everyone move. I have a huge family, and I was moving literally every month. And I was like, no problem, I'll help you. Chris, I'm having a problem. No problem, I'll help you. Chris, my computer's broke. No problem, I'll help you. And even if it was, even if I didn't want to do it, I didn't want to let other people down. And I wasn't getting any money from it. But everyone else was winning, and I was feeling drained. And my wife told me, she was like, babe, you're always tired because you're helping everyone else. But when you need help, there's no one around. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's true. So when people asked me to move, I said no. And then by saying no, it allowed me to see people for who they really were. When you say no and they give you hate, you found out what they really feel about you. You know what I mean? So I distanced myself from everybody. Ever since I've done that, I've been winning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a key component to winning, distancing yourself from people, helping those that it has to be a balance. If you feel drained, if you're on the phone with someone and you hang up and you're like, oh, man, I'm so glad, they're draining. But if you get off the phone with someone and you were building as an exchange of energy, that's fine. But if you're always feeling drained and you're always sighing after you help people, my thing is I don't do anything I don't want to do anymore. I'm 41 years old. I'll be 42 in October. I'm never doing anything I don't want to do again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I roll. And I say it with a smile. No, I don't give it a reason why. I just say it. And I say what I said, and I keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. My no means no, and that's just it.
That's it.
When you feel like you're stuck, or when you have felt stuck in the past, other than your mirror mindset trick, what other tools and or support have you used to help you get unstuck?
Wow. The biggest tool that I've used is my altar. I set my altar up about 4 years ago, and it literally just flipped my paradigm upside down. I mean, I'll be honest. I had some financial difficulties about 4 years ago, and I went to my altar, and I needed $1,400 that day for something. Mm-hmm. I went to my altar, and I asked. And I received. That day changed my life. So if anyone out there that feels as if they're not winning and you want to win, establishing and erecting an ancestral altar is your biggest cheat code in this reality. If anyone plays video games, you can beat the game or do better if you have a cheat code. And that's what the altar is for me. I credit my first book to the god Tahuti or Taut or Abraxas or Dejanti. I reached out to him and I asked him to help me. S. I. Lee Myers challenged me to write a book. And after I went to my altar, I anointed my third eye and I anointed Tahuti's third eye and I linked my consciousness up with them. And while I was at work, while I was in the grocery store, while I was out driving, I started getting these downloads of all these poems, and they were deep. I was like, wow, that's deep. And I just started writing them down. And then by the end of the week, I noticed I had about 8 beautiful poems. So I started really being able to discern my thoughts from the downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And it took some time. It took some time. I also accredit meditation and just love of self. I'm my biggest tool. You know, a lot of people believe that tools help, and they do, but tools only bring out what's already in you.
There you go.
I was heavy on crystals. We have about 300, 400, 500 crystals around here. But then I realized that, you know, crystals aren't doing anything but bringing out what's already in me. So I became my own crystal. I started investing in real spiritual tools. You know what I mean? And that's helped me out. In order to grow spiritually, you have to invest in the spirit. You have to show the universe, the spirit, and your higher self that you're willing to go the long haul. You know, there's been times where I put a bill on the side in order to invest in a spiritual tool. And that spiritual tool helped me pay for my bill and then some.
There you go.
You know what I mean? A lot of people don't put any value on spiritual tools. But the real truth of real spiritual tools is they work whether you believe they do or not.
Mm-hmm.
A real powerful spiritual tool, you don't have to believe. You can just get one and just like, I don't think it's going to work. And it'll work and it'll just change you. You know?
Yes, I when I got my Barakiel medallion, I think that was one of my first spiritual tools from MasterTybro.com, guys. Master Dr. Mr. Goodson, our spiritual master teacher, guru, and Asaria Kathy Gibson, our teachers, we're referring to when we talk about high-powered spiritual tools. That's where we go to get our tools at Tybro.com. And when I got my Barakiel medallion, I think it's like $300. Like the next day I got $300. I don't even remember where $300 came from, but it paid for itself. And I was like, okay.
Same thing happened to my wife. She got her Barakiel. 3 days later in the mail, she get a refund check from student loans. She had paid her loans off 5 years ago, and she get a refund check. I bought me a Doomer Ghost medallion from the master. I was getting pulled over every other month by the police, profiled, verbally degraded. It's been 4 years. I haven't been pulled over since. And I was getting pulled over ever since I was 16. The only thing that's changed is my vibration. Once you vibrate higher, anyone negative can't touch you. They can't touch you. Cops get behind me, see this big brother with locks. They get behind me, and something makes them move. And me and my wife and my daughter, we trip out over it. I say, watch this, babe. They'll move in a second, and they always do. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Guys, this is an open show, so please feel free to press 1 and say hello. Chris, we do have one caller on the line. Would you like to take this caller? All right.
Sure.
Caller from the 513, what's your name and where you're calling from?
This is Mother Huffman calling. I wanted to be the first one to say peace and love.
Hey,
hi,
that's my
Mother
mama.
Huffman.
I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Yes, and I have to get back with you too soon, okay?
Oh, yes. It runs in the family. Where do you think Chris got it from?
Facts. I remember when
that's
I was
right.
younger, I was a fat kid, and my mom always had a way of making me feel good about myself. She said, yeah, you're fat, but you got nice hair. Your waves look good. You're always clean. She would always build me up, and I always loved her for that. She never made me feel as if I was lacking anything,
that
was like the seed that was planted in me early, that I'm a god. You know what I mean? Forget how other people see me. How do you see yourself?
Yes, exactly.
My number one son.
Facts.
Did you have anything else you want
to
say, Mama?
No,
all right, thank you.
I just want to call in and say peace and love.
Peace and love to you. Thank you for calling in, and you have
thank
a great
you.
Evening.
All right, you too.
Bye.
It's nothing like a mother's love for a son and a son's love for his mom.
It's a beautiful, beautiful to see that relationship, and especially how it transcends. And If you don't mind sharing, for the people that don't know you guys, will you share the beautiful story of how you were able to assist your mom on her spiritual journey? Because I think this is also a part of changing that consciousness mindset.
Well, my mom was, I was at the Soul Glow Retreat number one, and my mom called me and she just said, pray for me. And I was like, wow, that's strange. She doesn't say that too often, but I didn't think anything of it. But when I got home, she told me that she was afflicted with cancer. And I told her, like, you know, I can heal you. You know, about 8 months prior, we were on our way up to Dayton to go to a Whispers concert. She called me up late night. She missed her ride. And if she calls me for anything, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm always there for my number one woman. You know what I mean? So I took her up to Dayton, and she had a problem with her knee. So I told her I could heal her knee if she just believed. So I said the miracle prayer. I envisioned a bubble of light around my right hand. And I visualized myself giving all the healing energy that's in me flowing to my giving hand and to her knee. And I said the miracle prayer. 3 hours later, she said, son, you know what? My knee hasn't hurt since. And that was like confirmation for me that, wow, I'm a healer. I had purchased the Master's Healing Spell book. So after reading the book, I felt like, you know what? I can heal people. And then she got afflicted with cancer, and I did the same thing again. And she no longer has cancer. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. And that all goes in, guys, with really getting your mind right and knowing that you have all the tools that you need within you and around you. And as long as you begin to have that intention, that's my tagline, the magic of intention, the intention of tapping into it and getting to know your God self and connecting to her or him, to use it for your highest good and the highest good of others around you. It works. You just have to be able to believe in yourself enough to do it, and that's a part of wealth consciousness and being in your power and knowing your own magic. It's there. You just got to give yourself permission to tap into it and use it. Thank you for sharing that story with us, Chris. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
As I was going through your book, you gave out some empowering affirmations on how people can tap into being more wealthy conscious. So do you mind sharing some of those affirmations of or words, positive language that people can use to assist themselves?
Well, first off, I want the people to realize that the human consciousness is connected to the fabric of reality. What you think about, you bring about. It's as simple as that. So if you think about winning, you'll become a winner. If you think about being wealthy, you'll become wealthy. We all have to brainwash our subconscious mind because that's where the magic starts. So all day I think about winning and making money, all day. So when I go to sleep, I'm telling the universe I want more of that in my life. So when I sleep, I dream abundant. And when I wake up, it's a continuation of my dream. So I want everyone listening to realize that your waking state is a continuation of your dreams, and your dreams is a continuation of your waking state. We have to be mindful of what we feed our minds and feed our subconscious. You need to stop. I'm not going to say you need to stop, but if you want to win, you want to start listening to positive things. Stop watching negative movies. Stop listening to negative music. Stop listening to negative people, because your subconscious is feeding on all that stuff. You know, you have to visualize having what you want right now, not in the future. Look at yourself. What do you have on? Okay, now do you see it? In your mind, see yourself being wealthy with what you have on right now. You know what I mean? Stop watching the news. That's something I stopped doing. Stop watching the news, because the news will do nothing but bring your vibration down with all the negativity. It's not news. That's a trick. It's not news. Stop watching it. That which you don't know can affect you. We have to create our own reality. And I surround myself with winning things, you know? I also, I create my own self-empowering affirmations, like, today's going to be a great day. You know, if I had a bad day at work the previous day, the next day at my altar, I say, you know what, tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day. I create my days by telling myself what type of day I'm going to have. Because there's an abundance of beauty all around us. But when you have poverty consciousness, you choose not to see it. Mm. I look up at the sky a lot. I look at beauty of the trees. I did my own ritual while I learned all my senses over. So one day what I would do is see things as if this is the first time I had ever seen before. I was looking at people. I was looking at birds. I was looking at bugs and just adoring the beauty of the bugs. Like, wow, that bug is beautiful. You know what I mean? And I started touching things as it was the first time I've ever touched it. I would take a dollar out and say, wow, this money feels good in my hand. I need more of this in my hands. Just started saying my own affirmations and making it simple. Not making it hard, making it simple. Until it become me. It became me. It's who I am now. I say winning. I say winning so much. When I'm texting people, winning comes up first. That's how much I say winning. Before I even say anything, when I hit the text, winning comes up. I was just telling my wife this the other day. I was like, wow, I'm winning when I don't even think I'm winning. Because I'm winning. Another thing that I was teaching my daughter to do was talk about her dreams as if they've already happened. Whatever it is you want out of life, act as if it's already you. A millionaire doesn't start acting like a millionaire when they get $1 million. Everything up to them making $1 million, they've been thinking about being wealthy. It's all is mind and mind is all. I can't stress that enough. The universal laws saved my life.
Yes, 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 yes. And we're always creating, always creating. And that's why, you know, with my clients and even myself, you know, I use my tools to create the life that I want while I'm living life. It's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're doing. As you're living, you're creating. We're always creating. So if you want to keep seeing good things and great things happening, you want to stay in that mindset of great things and good things happening for you, and you're always moving to the next level, whatever level it is for you in your own personal journey. Tell me, Chris, three things, and you've already spit a whole bunch of them, but tell me three things that you wished someone would have told you about being wealthy as you were maturing from a kid to an adult.
You know, growing up in the hood, I didn't think being wealthy was, I never fathomed being wealthy. My goal was to make it out the hood. And when that happened, I was happy. I thought I was successful. And comparing myself to most people where I come from, I was. People looked at me like, wow, Chris, you made it. Wow, Chris, you made it out. You never been in jail. You made it out. You don't have a bunch of baby mamas running around here. You made it out. But to a poverty-conscious mindset, I had made it. But to a wealth-conscious mindset, I was just starting. So three things. Create your own reality. Don't listen to no one else unless they're winning. And there's nothing that you can't obtain. Simple things like that. And really believing in yourself. I'm going to go four. Believe in yourself. You know? I wish that someone when I was younger would have introduced altars to me. You know, I love martial arts. I've seen them in movies, but it was so far out of my paradigm that I didn't think that it was something that I could apply in my working life that would make me prosper.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized in order for miracles to happen, you have to try something different. You know? I look at it like this. The quickest way to receive blessings from the universe is to show the universe that you're not afflicted with poverty consciousness by helping people. I go to the store. I pay for people's food. I hold doors for people. Whether they say thank you or not, I'm showing the universe that I have wealth consciousness. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for the so I can show the universe that I'm worthy and I'm ready. I'm ready to evolve.
Yes.
Don't do things for people to tell you, thank you, nice job. Do things for the universe. You won't hear it, but you'll feel it, and you'll reap the benefits for it. Stop trying to get confirmation from people that aren't winning.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes. Because it won't matter anyway. Like I tell people, what's the point of the matter?
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter what anybody else thinks anyway. Because it's really not affecting you. When it all boils down to the grand scheme of things, what does it really matter?
Right. Another thing that I wish someone would have told me was stop giving power to your excuses.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That excuse mindset is a dream killer. You know, I would, but, you know, maybe one day, you know, right now I just don't think. Don't think, just do. Don't think, just do. Sometimes when you're doing things, you don't know if it's going to work or not. Just do it. And even if you don't get to where you want to go, you're farther than you were before. And you're going to learn. So the next time you go to do something, you'll know what not to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I set a goal for myself to retire in 5 years. And I'm making more money now than I was before I started that goal. Outside of my 9 to 5. Just by telling myself that. You know, every day I'm thinking of ways to help people. Like, what can I create to help people? You know, I teach kids martial arts because I was bullied as a kid. I never told a lot of people because I wanted to be strong. I was bullied by a lot of people when I was a child. But once I learned martial arts, I started taking taekwondo. I learned how to box. That went away. And I have this confidence about myself now that I can do anything and no one can touch me. And I love the way that feels. And I love the way a child looks at me after I teach them how to be a man. And I've taught a lot of children how to defend themselves. And the beauty of it is they never have to use it. They never have to use it. People just sense that they are a different being after I put my hands on them, after I teach them. And that's real martial arts, having all this power and wielding it but not using it. That's the type of martial arts I teach, you know.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're coming up to the last 6 minutes of the show, guys. So if you do have a question, please press 1. Or if you want to just say, hello, how y'all doing, press 1, and we'll be happy to take your calls. Chris, you've mentioned a lot about the ways working with other people. So tell me, how can people, what type of thing do you help people with? And how can the callers reach you if they would like to receive your help?
Sure. One thing that I've been really helping people with lately, and it's been really helping me financially, is my spiritual resumes. I found a way to encode ancient prayers on top of resumes, and people have been making more money. People have been winning financially. It's as if their resume is vibrating higher and the employers that they're seeking can't help but return their call. I've been gifted with the ability to make people sound like a god on paper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My wife brought that to my attention years ago. She's like, when I apply for a job with the resume you gave me, I'm getting everything I wanted. I used it on my daughter. I used it on like 20 other people first. And they all told me, hey, you need to start charging for these services because I'm winning. Another thing I do teach kids martial arts. Another thing that I do is I do spiritual consulting. I can be reached at Chris3Huffman@gmail.com. Reach me at Chrisenlightened@gmail.com.
All right, and we have one more caller, and then I have something else to just chat with you about before we get offline. But let's take this caller really quick.
Okay.
Caller from the 301. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Desard. I'm calling from Wheaton, Maryland.
Hi, how are you this
Greetings,
evening?
Greetings, brother.
I'm good, I'm good. I had two questions. Where can you get the book from? And what's a good place to start if you read different things, like you read from things like How to Get Rich and The Science of Wealth and all these things, but you're still plugging away at getting that mindset together.
Okay, first question.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, trust me, I do, because I went down the same path. First thing, my book's on Amazon. You can look up Poverty Consciousness on Amazon, or you can type in Christopher Huffman, and Poverty Consciousness will come up. About all the reading and things like that, what works for me was relying on the spirit to find avenues to bless me with. By giving and doing and helping, the spirit is going to align people up to you to pay you. It's not going to happen overnight. A lot of these books hype you up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You read all this stuff, but they don't give you anything tangible to use in order to prosper financially. Do you have your ancestor altar up? Do you have an altar up at all?
Yes, I do.
Great. Do you have any deities on your altar?
I'm redoing that part of my – I had some. I put them – now I'm going to redo it.
Okay. Well, I'm also a certified numerologist, and I do numerology readings for people as well. And you have my email, Chris3Huffman@gmail.com. I'll give you a free numerology reading, and I'll give you at least four deities that you can rock with on your altar that will help you. You have to establish a connection with them first, though.
Okay. I will email
you. Did you get the email? Okay.
It's a Chris3Huffman@gmail.com.
HUFFman@gmail.com. Huff and then man. I'll give you an in-depth reading, and I'll link you up with at least four deities that you can put on your altar, and they'll help you win.
Oh, cool.
We have to expand our consciousness first. And by serving your ancestors and serving these deities, they're going to bless you. These books, all these services that I have, they were non-existent until I put my altar up. That was the foundation of me winning. There's a reason why China's doing so good. There's a reason why India's doing so. There's a reason why these people who rock with ancestors are winning. Amaria has her ancestor altar up. I have my ancestor altar up. Another thing I did to expand my consciousness is learn these ancient prayers. You know, there's so much energy in these prayers. There's kind of they're like a spiritual escrow account. You learn, you speak them, you speak it. Every time you say a prayer, you add them to your spiritual escrow account. And when you need something, you can ask and you will receive.
Where does one learn those at?
When you reach out to me, I'll send you three.
Okay.
I'll send you three. One of them is the Anabakoa. The second one I learned was Nisa Vijaya. And the first one I learned was the simple Ganesha mantra, Om Gam Ganapati Namaha.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know that one. That one.
Start simple and then move on up. There's hundreds of them out there that you can use. But I'll share the ones that I've been winning with.
Okay.
But you
so
made
the
first step.
I will definitely send that email tonight, but I know you probably get to it in the morning or something. But I'll definitely send it out once we get off the air.
I'll send you the mantras tonight, and I'll do your reading tomorrow.
Cool.
Winning.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate
you.
Appreciate
you for calling
brother.
In. You have a good evening. And while we're on the subject of mantras and divine world prayers, I am another person that Sali Myers has challenged to get their book out. So my first book will be out probably within the next 30 to 45 days, and it will be on my sacred sounds that I love so much, mantras, praying, chanting, and different ones that you can use to assist you on your path to connect with your God self through saying those divine words of power and incorporating them in your life.
Legend.
So, guys, be on the lookout for that. And my last question for you, being the numerologist that we are, I noticed that your book has 88 pages. Was that planned? Or
yes.
Did it just happen?
Yes. 8 plus 8, 16,
1, 7. And tell, I was going to say, tell the people about the significance of the double eights, plus going into 16 to 7 and talking about poverty consciousness.
Yeah, the number 8 is like the number for business. And I wanted to make money. Simple as that. And I was like, how can I incorporate money into my book but do it on a spiritual side? So my book actually has more than 88 pages, but I took the numbers out of the beginning, and I just started once poverty consciousness started. So it was intentional. It was intentional.
Yes.
But 8 plus 8 is 16, that equals 7, and 7 was like my ode to the spirit, because 7 is the number for spirituality.
And there you have it, folks. It's the magic of intention. Say it with me, the magic of
magic
intention.
Of intention.
That's all
you can
it
put,
is.
I
Go
tell
ahead,
my,
Chris.
You can put your intention on a spoon, and that spoon could be your biggest spiritual tool. It's as simple as that.
Yep. Chris, thank you so much for joining me this evening. Ooh, I had a great time.
I didn't
I'm going to have
time.
To bring
Blue
you
by.
On and Miss Divine Queen on another show or something, and we can chop it up with the folks and talk about, I don't know what we'll talk about. We'll talk about anything. We can talk about anything. But I appreciate you so much for joining me, sharing
appreciate
your wisdom.
Thanks
your
for having
wisdom.
Me.
Oh, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
The whole premise of Soul Scribe Radio is to bring the people, the scribes that I know, they can be authors, speakers, people that use their gifts in any way that has helped me on my journey, or I know that they're helping others on their journey. I call myself the Millennial Soul Scribe, and it's because I speak to people. I don't speak to the person at all. It's intentional that I don't speak to people when I'm talking to them. I'm talking to your soul and trying to dig deep to spark a fire and get that candlelight burning for you. So that's the whole premise of Soul Scribe Radio, and it's my intention to bring people on to help inspire you through our stories and transform you through our experiences and empower you to live the life that you desire. So thank you, Chris, for joining us. You can reach him on Facebook, Chris Enlightened. at thechrisenlightened@gmail.com. Make sure you go get his book on Amazon.com, Poverty Consciousness, or look up the name Christopher Huffman, and let's all begin to win in this thing that we call life on earth as we continue to transcend this physical body and live into our Godhood self. So thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone, for listening. Chris, you have a great evening. Tell the family that I say hello, and y'all better listen to this outro so you can get closer to your dreams. Peace, and have a great evening.
Peace.